All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We are here until 5 a.m. It is Thursday, Triple Play Thursday. Get your requests in now. It's one artist, three songs. And get your requests in right now, and we'll get to those a little bit later on. We're going to be talking about cereals. Like how to know which cereals are healthy according to nutritionists. Then we're just going to talk about cereals in general. We talked about beards yesterday. We're going to talk about mustaches today. And there's a lot more to talk about this morning as well. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And there you go. Follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and Facebook, facebook.com/Nick D Show. Okay. Every couple of weeks, we talk TV with our good friend Dan Feinberg. He's a TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. You can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. And it's a special kind of visit this week because the Emmys will be handed out on Monday night with Michael Che and Colin Jost as your hosts. And it'll be on Monday night. And we're going to get Dan's predictions for who he thinks will win and what will win and what deserves to win as well. And we got other TV stuff to talk about. Always a lot of TV to talk about with Dan Feinberg. And let's bring Dan in. Hey, Dan, welcome.
How are you doing, Nick?
Good, man. How are you?
Oh, busy, 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 man. Busy,
yeah.
Busy.
Yeah, I know. Let's see. Let's cover the Emmys first, okay? And then we can get to some of the other things that you were talking that you've reviewed recently, and on some of the fall shows that are coming up. We'll get to that as well. Lots to talk about this morning. So, all right.
So much.
So let's talk about the creative Emmys. They were handed out already, and something historical happened in the acting categories. Correct?
Yes, for the first time, there were African American winners in all four of the guest acting categories. And so while I don't know how many of the categories I necessarily would have made those my personal choices in, that is still historically notable. So yeah, we had Cat Williams winning for guest actor in a comedy. You had Tiffany Haddish.
Hmm? Yeah, and I was just going to say, I am beyond thrilled that Cat Williams won. I just, because he was so hilarious on that episode. He was terrific.
He was, but would you have given it to him over Sterling K. Brown for Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
No, I would not. I would not.
Okay.
My choice would have been Sterling K. Brown, but I did love Cat Williams in Atlanta.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. I said on Twitter that I was, you know, thinking that this was another sign of the Emmy winners embarrassing themselves, not the Emmy winners, the Emmy voters embarrassing themselves in these guest categories, because they get them wrong every year. they just really, there's no criteria to either the nominations or the winners, and it annoys me. And so I got annoyed, not so much that Cat Williams won, but that Sterling K. Brown lost.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. If you're going to make choices here, you got to have preferences. And as much as I like Cat Williams, and heck, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Bill Hader, Donald Glover, it was a great category.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just know who I would have voted for.
Right. And then, as you mentioned, Tiffany Haddish won for SNL.
Another category in which probably my vote would have gone to someone else, probably Jane Lynch for Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, but Tiffany Haddish is great and was great on SNL, and so good on her. Then you had Ron Cephas Jones winning for guest actor in a drama series for This Is Us, and another category in which probably I would have voted for either Cameron Britton for Mindhunter or Matthew Good for The Crown. Not to say in any way that Ron Cephas Jones is not great. He just deserved his options last year when he was a supporting actor on the show.
Yeah.
And not so much this year, but so it goes. And the same is also true of Samira Wiley on Handmaid's Tale winning for guest actress. She was much better last year when she was a supporting actor on the show. This year they didn't have much for her to do, and for that she won an Emmy. So there's a lesson is if they say that you're going to have to drop from a regular in a supporting role to being a guest star, you just go, okay, well, maybe that means I'll win Miami this year. But yes, so that was the history of those four awards. And it's, you know, it is a good and valid and worthy piece of history.
It
so
is, yeah. And we'll get to see them all present on Monday night.
Yes, I believe that is usually the way that they acknowledge the people who they pushed off to one of two different ceremonies last weekend. But they do tend to bring out the guest actors to present awards of some sort in the main telecast.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And are there anything else before we get to the regular prediction for the regular Emmys and the predictions and stuff? Is there anything else that stood out in the creative awards for you?
It was pretty much a lot of the normal stuff. I get frustrated by Black Mirror and Netflix kind of gaming the system on the television movie thing. So USS Callister won for Outstanding TV Movie, and it's not a TV movie.
Right.
It's an episode of an anthological drama, and I rant this one every time, and it remains true every single time. The USS Callister, not a TV movie.
Right.
On the other hand, the category is such a mess that really, the Emmys need to consider what they need to do in the category, because USS Callister beat Fahrenheit 451, which no one liked, Flint, which was mediocre, Paterno, which was mediocre, and The Tale, which really should have won. But
right.
Strange category, and it does not reflect what's happening in television at this point, except for the fact that if Netflix wanted to, Netflix has 25 to 30 original movies or quote-unquote original movies that they could have submitted there instead. So the fact that they're gaming the system with an episode of a drama series is just bad sportsmanship on their part, frankly.
I agree with you. I think you're right. Okay. All right, so that's the creative Emmys. Now we've talked about the Emmy nominations before, and I want to talk about who you think will win and who you think should win. So what do you think? You've got best drama series, you think that Game of Thrones will win again?
Well, let's see. So when we did this in the Hollywood Reporter, it was my name doppelganger, Scott Feinberg, FEIN, who made the actual predictions. I just made my own personal choices.
Okay.
So I'm not so sure, actually. I guess probably I think Game of Thrones is going to win if you made me put money on it. But my own personal preference is definitely for The Americans, both because it's my favorite show of the seven shows nominated in that category, and also, and really more importantly, I just would like for it to get that last recognition in its last year, because it won't have any more chances, and this is it.
Yeah.
Bring it on for The Americans, I say. I would be shocked, however, if The Americans actually did win. I don't even know how I'd process it if The Americans won. I would be so utterly confused. I think it will come down to either Game of Thrones or Handmaid's Tale. If somehow The Americans won drama series with only five nominations total, it would be unrealistic and implausible. So I am not holding my breath on that one.
Okay. All right, well, what do you think is going to win comedy?
I think it is going to come down to probably Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and Atlanta, and I think my preference would be Atlanta, but it's not a deeply passionate preference, in the sense that if Marvelous Mrs. Maisel was to win, I would be, okay, that's cool. If Barry were to win, I would be, okay, absolutely. So Barry, Atlanta, and The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel are the ones in that category that I would be very happy to see win. Glow, I would be a little perplexed, but not unhappy. Blackish, I would be not unhappy. And if Curb Your Enthusiasm, Silicon Valley, or Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt won, I would be perplexed and probably annoyed.
Okay. All right. What about limited series? I mean, this one's going to be, this is kind of an easy one, right?
It feels like it would be fairly shocking if it wasn't The Assassination of Johnny Versace, American Crime Story. It did extraordinarily well in the earlier Creative Arts Emmys, though there were also random wins for having Genius Picasso won for cinematography or something, which is not a precursor award per se, but it means that people thought that dreadful miniseries was worthy of awards of some sort. I can't see anything other than Johnny Versace winning there, and that's the one that I think deserves to win, even if we continue to penalize it for not being OJ.
Right, exactly. All right, well, what about, we already talked about television movie, which went to Black Mirror, which, of course, we just discussed is not really a television movie. Yeah. So let's see. Let's go to lead actor in a drama series. We got Jason Bateman, Sterling K. Brown, Ed Harris, Matthew Rhys, Milo Ventimiglia, and Jeffrey Wright. Who do you think is Sterling K. Brown again?
I think he probably has to be the favorite, but on the other hand, we think he's the favorite because we think there's this incredible amount of affection for him because everybody loves Sterling K. Brown, but then he couldn't beat Cat Williams in a category that he should have won easily. Maybe not. My personal preference would be Matthew Rhys, and probably by a lot of the people in this category, just because Sterling K. Brown has his Emmy already, and that's fine. He doesn't need more necessarily, and he should have gotten one last weekend. But once again, same thing as with the series, and we'll cover it again in a couple minutes with Actress. This is the last chance. And honestly, if you were to ask me what the best chance of the Americans winning anything at the ceremony on Monday is, I would say that it's Matthew Rhys. I think that the category is set up so that he is probably, if not the favorite, the second favorite in the category. Yeah. He had another great year, and I can absolutely imagine how the voters would look at it, say, okay, if we give the show this win, that's a major win for the Americans. It will be recognized that night, and we don't need to be ashamed of having neglected the show. Yeah. So I can see it winning.
Okay. All right. Well, you would enjoy that if he won that. Yeah.
I would be happy, sure. And it would be very comparable to the way that Kyle Chandler won for lead actor for the last season of Friday Night Lights. Sort of one of those things where Emmy voters ignored the show for so many years and then finally in the last year found a way to give it one major, major win. And that was good, too. So yeah. I'd be happy if he won.
All right. Lead actress in a drama series, Claire Foy, Tatiana Maslany, Elizabeth Moss, Sandra Oh, Carrie Russell, Evan Rachel Wood. Now, obviously, you're rooting for my girl, Carrie Russell.
I am indeed. Do you have the audio queued up?
If
you don't have it queued up, okay.
Here we go.
Hi, I'm Carrie Russell, and I love Nick's radio show.
Yes, she does.
just had to make sure we got that.
No, we got it. Hey, anytime I can play that, I'll play it. Any given moment. So
I'm here for you, Nick.
Thank you, man. Listen, this is a category that I think is just down to two. Well, Tatiana Maslany is amazing, and that goes without saying. And Claire Foy rules too. But I think it's between Elizabeth Moss and Carrie Russell here.
Honestly, with the exception of Evan Rachel Wood, who should be in the supporting field, she should not be there at all, none of those would be a bad choice. And so that is at least a happy thing on the surface level, is that if any of those other five actresses win, it's utterly deserved. You have Claire Foy, who is done as Queen Elizabeth. She didn't win last year. If she were to win an Emmy for this role, it would be totally deserved. You had Tatiana Maslany, who won last time she was eligible, which was 2 years ago, and certainly is worthy probably of multiple Emmys for this role.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have Elizabeth Moss, who won last year, which is awesome. Sandra Oh, phenomenal in Killing Eve.
Yes.
This was the thing it was nominated for. If she were to win and it were to win, that would be a great piece of recognition for a deserving show. And then you have Carrie Russell, who is completely deserving. She was probably her most deserving a couple years ago. I don't think this was maybe her best year, but if she walks away with the trophy, I will be nothing but smiles.
Yeah.
My hunch is probably that it's Elizabeth Moss again.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, I'm not going to, how would I be unhappy with that?
Yeah, because she's great. Okay, listen, hang on a second. Hang on a second, Dan, okay?
Sure.
All right, Dan Feinberg is with us from The Hollywood Reporter, TV critic. The Emmys will be handed out on Monday, and we're getting all of his predictions and his choices, personal choices as well, for the Emmy Awards, which will be handed out on Monday. And there's other TV talk to happen as well. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back more with Dan Feinberg after the news on 720 WGN. Welcome back. I hit the wrong, I had the wrong mouse there, Dan. I was trying to I was trying to move the computer mouse, and I hit the sound effect mouse, and we had Christian Bale scream.
Yeah, I thought he was congratulating the winner in the best female actress category.
Made a mistake. I'd hit this.
Oh, good for you!
From Christian Bale's meltdown on the set of Terminator from a few years ago. When you put two mouses in front of me, I just get confused. Just get very confused. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here above downtown Chicago. We are here until 5 a.m. Triple Play Thursday. Get your requests in now. One artist, three songs. 312-981-7200. We are talking television with our weekly visit, bi-weekly visit with Dan Feinberg from The Hollywood Reporter. The Emmys will be handed out on Monday night, and we're getting Dan's predictions as well as talking about other TV things as well. So let's welcome Dan back to the show. Welcome back, Dan.
Thank you much, Nick.
All right. So let's get to lead actor in a comedy series. Let's see. You've got Donald Glover, Bill Hader, Anthony Anderson, William H. Macy, Larry David, and Ted Danson.
Probably when it comes to preference, I would basically Donald Glover, Bill Hader, or Ted Danson. Any one of those people who wins, I will be smiley and happy. I think it would be extraordinarily funny if Donald Glover were to win because he submitted the Teddy Perkins episode, so it's an episode in which he, in his actual main character on the show, has about 30 seconds and two lines of screen time.
Right,
so,
but
on the other hand, his performance as Teddy Perkins is wonderful and weird. I think, to me, the best performance in a sort of pure sense, is Bill Hader. Yeah. They chose the penultimate episode of the first season of Barry, and that was a great dramatic episode.
Absolutely.
For Bill Hader.
Yep.
So, and with Ted Danson, it's mostly kind of a Ted Danson is awesome, and why would I be, and The Good Place is awesome, so it would be great if either one of them got any recognition. But really, to me, it comes down to Donald Glover and Bill Hader, and I'm going to guess it's going to be Donald Glover, and that would be just fine.
Yeah, okay. I agree with you, though. I think Bill Hader, out of these performances, is the one that deserves it the most. You know, he's great on the show. You know, he co-created it, you know, directed it, and it's just it's great. And that episode that they submitted was incredible. He was unbelievable on that episode. So,
yeah, no, if he wins, it would be easy to understand, and it would be easy to understand why they would want to recognize him, why they'd want to recognize the series in that way. So I would certainly have zero issues with Bill Hader winning and zero issues with Donald Glover winning. They would both be reflective of really, really good comedy shows, and that means that it's going to be Larry David for some reason.
Oh,
it isn't really going to be Larry David. Fortunately, I am not worried about that. It is not going to be Larry David.
No, it's not. Lead actress in a comedy series, Pamela Adlon, Rachel Brosnahan, Tracy Ellis Ross, Allison Janney, Lily Tomlin, and Issa Rae. And by the way, can I just say this before you take a guess at this? I just recently got into Insecure. I know I'm way behind. That show is great.
It is a really, really good show.
Oh, it's really good. I just binged it, you know, and I just got into it. And it's very, very good. I mean, that show, I should have been watching that show from the beginning.
You probably should have been, but still, you're not that far behind. And it's already been renewed for another season beyond this one. So, and I feel like it's sort of gaining more momentum as it goes along.
Yeah,
so I think more and more people are catching on.
Absolutely. It's a terrific show. So, anyway, who do you think?
I think it's going to be Rachel Brosnahan, and I think it should be Rachel Brosnahan. And, I think Pamela Adlon deserves to win multiple Emmys for better things. I just think if it comes down to this particular category and what this particular category is asking for, I think probably Rachel Brosnahan is the right person to win, and everyone should be very happy to celebrate a year without Julie Louis-Dreyfus in the category. This will be a one-year respite, and then Julia Louis-Dreyfus can win next year, and we will all be very, very happy for her.
Exactly.
But I think Rachel Brosnahan probably wins this one easy.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the supporting category. Supporting actor in a drama series. We've got Nikolai Coster-Waldau. We've got Peter Dinklage, Joseph Fiennes, David Harbour, Mandy Patinkin, and Matt Smith. Are you thinking David Harbour?
it's a mess of a category. This category to me does not in any way reflect the best supporting performances on television. It's a total mess. I don't even know how you end up with this category. And you know, nothing makes me hurt more than to say Mandy Patinkin doesn't need and doesn't deserve recognition. But man, he shouldn't be there. Man, Joseph Fiennes shouldn't be there. I think it's going to probably come down to David Harbour. If people still remember how much they like David Harbour and how much they probably liked the second season of Stranger Things, but it's been so long, and it's been so long, I guess, also since Game of Thrones. Like, all of these performances to me seem stale and really, really far in the past, except for Joseph Fiennes, who seems like he shouldn't be there.
Right, you're right.
I can't even begin to know. I think when I stated my preference in The Hollywood Reporter, I think I said Matt Smith, because his episode of this season of The Crown, Prince Philip is so unappealing and vaguely repulsive in this episode, as he is for much of the season, and I like how proudly unlikable Matt Smith makes this guy. And as opposed to David Harbour, who everybody loves, and as opposed to everybody loving at this point Tyrion Lannister, and we all now love Jaime Lannister as if we've forgotten all of the things he did back in the early seasons of the show. This is such a mess of a category. So it's just going to be Peter Dinklage again. I feel like he's kind of the default choice in this category.
All right. What about supporting actress in a drama? You think that's going to go to Millie Bobby Brown?
I think of Ivanka Trzeba. I do. I think that
she's going to. I mean, I know you want her to win, but you think she's going to win?
This is one of those where I kind of want to believe that the choice that makes the most sense, if you've actually been watching all of them, will be manifest to the voters as well. I think people will look at Yvonne Strahovski's performance and how it really kind of dominated this season of Handmaid's Tale, as great as Elizabeth Moss continues to be. That would be my preference. Millie Bobby Brown, once she didn't win for the first season, it becomes a more complicated thing. Like, if she had just won last year as well, then you go, okay, sure, they love Millie Bobby Brown. But I don't think she was better in the second season of Stranger Things. So, you know, why would she suddenly come up and win here? Alexis Bledel and Dowd both won last year, so suddenly they're in the same category. Who knows? The spoiler here who interests me is Vanessa Kirby for The Crown. And again, as with all of The Crown actors, this is her last chance to win because she's going to become Helena Bonham Carter next season. So she's out now. And she was great, and she has such a good episode in Beryl, which I believe won a couple of the Creative Arts Emmys last weekend, because it's just a great standalone episode, and she's fantastic in it. She was also really, really good in the Mission Impossible movie this summer, and I think some people will look and go, okay, this woman is a star, and she was always second or third billed on this show, but she's a star. So I think it's going to be either Vanessa Kirby or Yvonne Strahovski, and I'm going with Yvonne Strahovski.
Okay. All right. Supporting actor in a comedy series. I mean, I think, you know, there are a lot of good choices here, I think. Except for Alec Baldwin.
Indeed.
I think every single person here deserves to be deserves the credit. I think it's everybody but Alec Baldwin.
I am right there with you. Every single person in this category, any of them who won, other than Alec Baldwin, who does not need another Emmy, both in general and certainly not for this performance. Away with you, Alec Baldwin. If Henry Winkler won, that would be awesome. Everyone would be over the moon for Henry Winkler. Louis Anderson would always probably be my preference if I'm just going straight up preference.
And I love everybody, like I said, except for Alec Baldwin. I love everybody in this category. And I would be really, and as much as I love everybody in the category, I don't know, for some reason, I would love to see Kenan Thompson win. Just because he's Kenan Thompson. You know what I mean?
I think it would be it would be such an appropriate piece of recognition for a guy who has been so long unrecognized entirely. Like, no one would ever say Tony Shalhoub has been unrecognized. He has been amply recognized
and
for his career.
He just won a Tony.
Exactly. So, but most of the people in this category have received at different points sufficient recognition over the years. Kenan Thompson has always been that under the radar glue guy on SNL.
Yep.
It would be very nice if he were to win.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Supporting actress in a comedy series. I think you are definitely going with Alex Borstein, correct?
I believe that would be my preference and probably my pick, but this is another one where, and I'm sure we agree, you know, from Leslie Jones on down, there are a lot of very worthy people in this category.
Yeah. We wouldn't agree on the Leslie Jones or the Adi Bryant, but everybody else.
I think there are good people in this category. I think Kate McKinnon would be just much too obvious. Enough with the Kate McKinnon. Give someone else some love.
Yeah.
Betty Gilpin is fantastic on GLOW.
Yeah, she is.
If she were to win, that would be great. Zazie Beetz. I still don't understand who exactly gets to be supporting and who gets to be guest. I guess probably Van was in like one episode too many in order to be a guest star. But in her episode that was a standout episode, she was amazing.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Alex Borstein, and I think she probably deserves to win. And she already won a Family Guy voice acting Emmy last weekend, so she's on a roll.
She's on a roll. All right. Well, what about Best Actor in a Limited Series? You think Darren Criss is going to win?
I think that he seems like the person who people have been looking at as the guy who held together that miniseries, and I think that's probably true. He has a tough part and, you know, just a character who would be very easy to hate, well, with him being a serial killer and all, but he really finds an emotional heart to Andrew Cunanan, which I don't think anyone could have expected. I think Benedict Cumberbatch is amazingly good in Patrick Melrose.
He's so good in that. So good. And by the way,
I think
John Legend already's got his EGOT.
He does. He does not need that.
Right.
So definitely no on John Legend.
Yeah.
Definitely Jesse Plemons is not an actor in a limited series or movie. Jeff Daniels is very good in Looming Tower. I think to me my vote would come down to Chris or Cumberbatch, and I suspect it to be Chris.
Okay. All right, let's take a break here, and then we'll finish up the Emmy nominations here. Dan, hang on.
Sounds good.
All right. Dan Feinberg is with us. We are going to take a break, and we'll come back and talk more about the Emmy nominations and some other TV stuff as well. Dan Feinberg joins us every couple of weeks here on the show to talk TV. He's TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter, and you can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. More with Dan after this. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We are here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran will have your morning drive at 6. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. That's all coming up right here on WGN. All right, Dan Feinberg is with us. He joins us every couple of weeks to talk TV. He writes for The Hollywood Reporter. You can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print. We've been going through the Emmys category by category in the major categories, and finding out what Dan's thoughts are in these categories. The Emmys will be handed out on Monday night, and your hosts are Michael Che and Colin Jost, and we will also have Dan on Tuesday morning after the Emmys to talk about the results, and we'll welcome Dan back. Dan, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, let's talk about Best Actress in a Limited Series or Television Movie. Do you think that Jessica Biel is going to take this?
I think that Edie Falco's wig is going to take this. Honestly, I believe Scott Feinberg predicted Jessica Biel was going to win. I would predict probably that Laura Dern is going to win, and either Laura Dern or Michelle Dockery, in my opinion, should win. But really and truly, we all know that the real winner out there is Edie Falco's ridiculous Law and Order True Crime, the Menendez brothers wig, for sure.
Sarah Paulson, you know, everybody loves Sarah Paulson. Any chance she's going to get it for American Horror Story?
I don't think so. I think the everybody loves Sarah Paulson factor is what got her into the field at all, and by all means. Also, she had a lot to do on Cults last season, so there was a lot of wailing and crying and being crazy she had to do. I think it's fine for her to be nominated, just like Regina King is great in 7 Seconds. 7 Seconds, which is not a limited series. It was a Netflix drama series that just didn't get renewed, and you can't just say magically that things become miniseries is just because they aren't renewed, even though heaven knows it's happened enough times at the Emmys. So, yeah, I feel like Jessica Biel is really more of a Golden Globes type winner in this category, and I think Emmy voters love Laura Dern, as one should love Laura Dern, and also Laura Dern was really, really great in The Tale.
Yes, she was. But speaking of American Horror Story, it debuted last night, the new season, and this is the first time that I didn't bother to watch the first episode, because every single year, with the exception of the first season, I watched it all the way through. Every single season after that, I've lasted either 2 or 3 episodes, so this year, didn't even bother.
I always last further than 2 episodes, and I finished Asylum. I haven't finished any since the second season. Last season, I think I made it 5 or 6 episodes. This season, they did not send out a single episodic screener, which is only somewhat unusual. Really, it goes back and forth. They sent out 2 or 3 episodes of Cult ahead of time. They were all ahead on that. Whereas the year before that, the Roanoke or whatever the season was actually called, they wouldn't even announce what the name of the show was until it had actually aired. At least this season, they've done trailers and we know who the characters are and we knew what it was called, but they did not send out screeners. So I will eventually watch it. As of the moment at which we're talking, nobody has asked me to write a review of it, and thus I have no urgency to watch it. But if someone decides to demand a review of me, I guess I will be watching the episode at some point.
Yeah. Oh, God. All right. Supporting actor in a limited series or TV movie. Are you thinking Jeff Daniels here?
It would be odd if he had all of these nominations and didn't end up winning. My own personal vote would go to Brandon Victor Dixon from Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought he was so good in that.
It was amazing,
And that was the performance in this group that made me go, oh, my goodness, who is this person? This person needs to get more work. But Ricky Martin was very good in Johnny Versace, Edgar Ramirez was good, Michael Stuhlbarg was great in Looming Tower, Finn Wittrock had one very, very good episode. I figure Jeff Daniels will win. It's a showy part, it's a showy miniseries, he has multiple nominations, so I think he feels more likely than anyone else here to win.
What about supporting actress in a limited series or movie? You're going with Merritt Weaver for Godless?
I thought she was great in that, and she's a past Emmy winner, which makes her very, very prominent in their mind. But then again, award voters always love Judith Light, and for good reason. And then you have Penelope Cruz, who is just sitting there, and I actually applaud the lack of ego that allowed her to submit in the category that she actually belonged. I had genuine fear that she was going to submit as lead actress, even though Donatella is in no way a lead in that miniseries, but she submitted in the right category, and I think she's fantastic in that category. So, if they go with the star power, it'll be Penelope Cruz. If they go with the showy part, it'll probably be Merritt Weaver, and either one would probably be fine.
Okay, cool. All right, Dan, hang on. We got just a couple more categories to get to. Hold on, Dan. And
okay, and
there's Dan Feinberg. We got a break for the news. We come back. We got 2 more categories. We're going to do the variety sketch series and the variety talk series categories, and then we'll jump into some other TV stuff as well. Always a lot of TV to talk about with Dan Feinberg. He joins us every couple of weeks. He writes for The Hollywood Reporter, and you can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. He will return with me right after the news, which is next on 720 WGN. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. On 720 WGN, we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here till 5 a.m. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. It is Thursday, Triple Play Thursday, so get your requests in now. 1 artist, 3 songs. We'll get them to them a little bit later on. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about cereals a little bit later on. We talked about beards yesterday. We're going to talk about classic mustaches today. Facial hair talk needs to be in 2 parts. So we'll get to that later on as well. But right now we are talking with Dan Feinberg. He joins us every couple of weeks to talk about TV. He writes for The Hollywood Reporter. You can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at the Fine Print, F-I-E-N. The Emmys will be handed out on Monday, and then Dan will be joining us a special visit on Tuesday morning after the Emmys to talk about the results and how good the show was and all that cool stuff. So Dan's with us doing the predictions as well. Welcome back, Dan.
Thank you.
All right. So let's do a variety sketch series. Because it's the Saturday Night Live Portlandia Drunk History, Tracy Ullman's show At Home with Amy Sedaris, and I Love You America, which is Sarah Silverman's show. What do you think here?
I think probably if I'm predicting it's going to be Saturday Night Live, I think we are continuing with the momentum of last year's Saturday Night Live comeback. It is the last season of Portlandia, and this is one of those categories in which Emmy voters sometimes get a little nostalgic. Key and Peele won for its last season, but again, Key and Peele won when it kind of needed to win. It was kind of urgent for Key and Peele to win. I don't know that it's urgent for Portlandia to win. I think in the THR article I said that my own preference would be At Home with Amy Sedaris, which, having watched a handful of episodes, that's a vaguely brilliant show.
Nothing vaguely about it. I think that show's amazing and hilarious and weird and just like her.
Agreed. No, it is the show that to me is the most distinctive and special of the shows in this category, and I don't think it has any chance at all of winning.
Right.
But it's very I'm just happy to see it nominated.
Sure.
There.
Yeah.
It's nice when the weird good stuff gets nominated.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so variety talk series. I gotta say, with the exception of Corden, these are all good. The fact that Corden is in there is only because he drives around singing in a car. That's the only reason that he's in there. But I mean, everything else is really, really strong. But it goes to John Oliver like every year now at this point, doesn't it?
This is a category where the voters get into rhythms. They just get, they vote every single year for The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. Then they take a few years and vote every single year for the Colbert Report. And now we seem to be in a John Oliver mode. I think there's a narrative in which Samantha Bee could win. I think she's the spoiler in the category, but I would guess it's going to be John Oliver, and I think that if I had my vote, it would be John Oliver, but with no problems whatsoever if Samantha Bee were to win, or honestly, as you say, anyone other than Corden, I would be happy with. I think, honestly, I probably would knock Kimmel out as well as a personal preference. I think he did definitely, he did some great episodes, and I think without any question he deserves much credit and respect for some of the great stuff he did. I just think in terms of body of work, it's not as consistent.
Oh, I agree. I agree with that. Although I watch Kimmel all the time, and I think he's very entertaining, and I like him, and he's really stepped up his game a lot past couple of seasons. I agree with you. In terms of like what should be said about what's happening now, there are stronger nominees in this category.
So. But I think it will go to one of the ones that deserve to win.
Okay.
I think so.
All right.
I'm not worried about that category.
All right. Well, cool. Let's see. Let's talk. Let's get into some regular TV. I'm interested in some of the reviews that you did. Now this is really amazing to me. Sean Penn is actually doing a TV show, which is just, I think, really kind of crazy, and I never would have expected it. But it's a show for Hulu. So
everyone's doing a TV show.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, you got I think next week you've got Emma Stone and Jonah Hill doing a TV show,
right,
for Netflix.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing TV. So Sean Penn makes as much sense as anyone else.
Okay, all right. So this is called The First, and tell us about it. And I think it's interesting that we've got two projects here about, you know, with First in the title, that are about space.
Wait, which is the other one?
The other one is Damien Chazelle's film.
Yes. First Man. Gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. Okay. You had me at TV mode, and then
I got you.
Yes. Definitely looking forward to the movie. And I hope it's better than the TV show, and I did not mind the TV show. So, yes, the first, it is created by Bo Willimon, who was the creator of the American version of House of Cards, and was the runner of House of Cards for at least the few years before dropping out. So if you want to, you can pretend that the show went off the rails when he departed. I would argue the show went off the rails while he was still running it, but that's neither here nor there. And it is about, basically, it's about the first manned mission to Mars, but more than anything, it's about the slow build-up and preparation for the first manned mission to Mars. I don't want to get all spoilery on people, but let's just say we don't get to Mars in the first season. That keeps things pretty simple. It's going to be a long time before we get to Mars.
Okay.
And the show is... it's deliberate, and if people are expecting it to be a big space-type show, if they're expecting it to be The Martian, if they're even expecting it to be Nat Geo's self-titled Mars, if they're expecting it to be Mission to Mars, if they're expecting it to be The Red Planet, it's none of those things. And it's better than some of those things, for the record. Some of those things I just listed are really bad.
Yeah.
Not going to say which ones necessarily, but some of them are. It's about the kind of people who would want to basically sacrifice their life on a possible suicide mission, or at the very least, a multi-year excursion to Mars. And so it's about the people on Earth and the people who they're prepared to leave behind for this selfish but also altruistic space adventure. And so Sean Penn's character is the commander or leader of this team of astronauts, and he has a daughter who's a junkie, a wife who died a couple of years earlier. So basically, in order for him to go to Mars, he's going to have to leave his junkie daughter on Earth to fend for herself. And she's a recovering addict, and she's trying hard, and she's, you know, working the steps and all that, but she's, you know, he's the thing holding her together to some degree, and he has to make this choice. But every one of the astronauts who are going to space, they all have to make comparable choices. And I found a lot of that very interesting. I think it's also interesting just how many of the things you kind of want a show like this to do that this show has no interest at all in doing. It sets up all of these big dramatic conflicts and then jumps ahead in time without showing you how things were resolved, because it's about the process and the complications, not so much the solutions to the complications. And so I think if people approach this show as a somewhat frustrating process drama about driven people with remarkable aspirations, I think it's interesting and does a lot of things sometimes very well. If you approach it looking for big blockbuster moments, you're going to be pissed off by this show so fast, and I can't imagine people looking for those things are even going to last more than one or two episodes.
Wow,
so,
okay. Adjust
on its own terms.
Right, adjust your expectations then.
Exactly.
Okay, all right, great. Hey, you interviewed Andrew Stanton, who is now doing, like, he's a Pixar guy, and he's now doing live-action TV, or live-action TV directing, and he is responsible for my favorite Pixar movie of all time, which is Wall-E.
Finding Dory?
No, Wall-E. Wall-E, not Finding Dory. Wall-E is my... Wall-E is, to me, is just like... You know, and Pixar has done some great movies, but to me, that's head... Wall-E is head and shoulders above every of all the Pixar movies, and I just adore that movie. I'm glad to see that he's doing some other stuff. What was it like to interview him?
He's a really smart man, and I do these weekly interviews with people associated with Better Call Saul because it's such a thought-out show, and everybody involved with it has interesting things to say about the show. And his talk about this past week's episode, which is a very, very good episode, is fascinating. And if you're interested in the process of television directing and why it's a kind of strange business and what leeway a TV director actually has or doesn't have, and what creative freedom a TV director has. It's a really good conversation, and we talked about a number of key show scenes within the episode. We talked about the differences between live action and animation. He talked about how doing animation, you basically have all the power, you sort of have the control, the hand of God control over it, but it feels like doing classical music because there's no opportunity for improvisation or freedom, whereas doing television, because of how quick and down and dirty it is, it feels, he described it more as jazz. It's just interesting that this is a guy who has multiple Oscars, who is in his chosen field at the absolute pinnacle, and yet he's decided that he wants to do something that John Carter suggested he maybe was not prepared to do. I know some people who like John Carter. I think, you know, I suspect he would probably tell you that John Carter was something where he wasn't necessarily prepared for the scope of it.
Yeah.
Or maybe he wouldn't. But on TV, he's directed three episodes. He directed two episodes of Stranger Things last season, and now one of Better Call Saul. He appears to have very good taste, and I think he's smart and talented. And I think if he puts in more time on this live action thing, I think the next movie he decides to direct, he'll probably knock it out of the park. Okay. I think he is an extremely talented person who maybe overreached on his first live action movie, but I think he has all the potential in the world if that's what he wants to do.
Okay, great. And that's, you can read that at, it's all at the fine print, FIEN. Okay. Before we get out of here, are you all caught up on Big Brother?
I am indeed all caught up on Big Brother and prepared to mourn the passing of Haley if I need to. I'll be sad to see her go, but I don't know what she really could have done to stay around.
Yeah.
How are you feeling at the moment about things?
I think Haley's going to go tonight. You know, I think that's absolutely certain. And then I think, you know, it's interesting to see what's going to happen when who's left in the house, you know, they're going to have to start knocking each other out. And I really think that I think at this point, obviously Tyler is, I think, the strongest player in the game. But really, KC has become like a comp beast. And I think that she's a strong contender as well. But I think Brett and JC have to be the next to go.
And I think they know they are, and so it's going to be interesting to see what they do there. I think that Tyler runs the risk of having things implode the minute at which suddenly everybody realizes he has a final two deal with them, and that's the kind of thing where no matter how good he is, it feels as if much more than Survivor juries, Big Brother juries really do take violations of the social contract seriously.
Oh yeah, as evidenced by last year. I mean, my God. Yeah. So yeah, and
I think that could hurt Tyler if things come out in the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay, and then I always enjoy the BB Comics episode, and I'm glad that they kind of changed it up this year as opposed to them, you know, on the tripwire and the wire trying to look at the comic books as they go by. And they switched up the game a little bit and kind of made it a little fresher.
I feel like this year the tasks have in general been just a little bit refreshed.
Yeah.
And I've been glad with that. I think that's at least part of why this season has been a step above several past seasons.
Agreed. Although they didn't have a lot of content for Sunday night, clearly, because they dedicated a half an hour. They had dedicated a half an hour to two old contestants getting engaged. I was like, what the hell is going on? And then like a 10-minute segment on how good Angela can smell things. I was like, what is happening?
I was totally fine with the 10-minute segment on Angela's ability to smell things.
Yeah.
Then when it became Nicole's engagement, and they started just bringing in people who weren't in seasons with any of them, who just kind of vaguely knew them, and then you brought them out, and then you let the people from upstairs come down, and it was very clear that Sam has probably never watched the second of Big Brother in her life.
Absolutely. Oh, you're Nicole? I was laughing my head. And by the way, Sam has become such an interesting nutcase. You know, I mean, I never thought we'd go down this avenue where she's like dropping F-bombs and threatening to rip the doors off the hinges and kill people. I was like, my God.
Yeah, I want to see her do it, though. Like, I don't want it to just be a threat. If,
yeah.
If she's capable of doing whatever she's suggesting that she can do, I want her to go out guns ablaze.
Oh, I hope she does, because she's not going to win, but I hope she does. But so,
Not going to win.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Dan, always a pleasure to talk to you, and thank you for coming on Tuesday morning. We'll talk to you then right after the Emmys.
Looking forward to it, Nick.
Okay, buddy, take care. There you go. Dan Feinberg, everybody, TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. Follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. The Emmys will be airing Monday night, and you can watch them on CBS. NBC. It's got to be NBC, right? Because it's Michael Che. Michael Che and Colin Jost aren't going to host it on CBS. It's Monday night, and then we'll have Dan on Tuesday morning after the Emmys to talk about the results. All right, everybody, stay tuned because we are going to talk about cereals next here on 720 WGN.